Father, we thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. A piece of paper. Yeah. Matthew chapter 16. And I hope I can get to the point pretty quick. We seem to be the only ones in our lives that don't know who we are. We the only ones. God know who we are. Jesus know who we are. The Holy Spirit knows who we are. The demons and the devil know who we are, but we the only ones that's walking around here with identity crisis. Mm-hmm. We are the only ones in our whole situation, whether negative or positive, that just don't know how we are made. So because we don't know who we are, we can never do the things that we're supposed to do. We can never be what we're supposed to be. The witness is weak because they don't see anything in us. Because we aren't being who we're supposed to be. But we seem to be the only ones. I mean, even the demons, even they know. That's why they do so much stuff. They know. But we don't. It's a mind transformation that's got to go on. Apostle been talking about the soul. And it's amazing. It takes you on a trail. I thank God for apostolic leadership once again. I thank God for just somebody take you on a trail, because if you didn't have anybody blazing the trail or taking you in some new places, then we would be traditional and religious. We'd be stuck on the same thing that we've been stuck on for so many years. There's a story about a, this is quick, there's a story, and some of you may have heard this story before, the story, the way they would bring, you know, elephants are strong and massive and enormous animals. I used to wonder how would you tame an elephant, right? Like you go to the circus and different things like that. Elephant just be out there in the yard, he ain't going nowhere. And so when he's born and he's small, they take him and they chain him. They stick a stake in the ground, put a metal stake in the ground, and they chain him to that stake. So while he's younger, he can't get away from it. So every time he try to pull away from that chain, pull him back. He's submissive. Every time he try to get away, pull him back. He's naturally going to try to get away, but it jerks him back. But naturally so, the elephant grows. And it grows up into adolescent elephant and then also grown elephant. Well, you know, ain't no little stake in the ground. You can put 20 stakes in the ground, ain't going to hold an elephant in place, right? But the first moment, because his mind has been conditioned a certain way for so many, and every day they tie him back to that same chain. They don't miss a day putting him on that chain. Even if they got taken loose from him, they don't miss a day. He's always on that chain because they're developing something in his mind. So now, even though he's become strong enough to pull up his stake and everybody else's stake and tear the whole circus down, he don't know it because his mind has been conditioned. And so he moves. It's the same stake that was there before. It's the same one, the same chain. He moves a little bit. As soon as he feel that first tug, he don't try it no more. You don't even try to do anything further than that first little tug. Because for so long, that tug has had him captivated. For so long, he hasn't been able to do anything else because he's been conditioned in his mind that he can't get away. Well, he's strong enough to do it. He got the power to do whatever it is that he needs to do to get away and be free. But because of that first little tug in his mind, not in his body, it's not in his strength. Oh, no, it's not there. Then one little tug in his mind, he pulled, and when he realized that it pulled him back a little bit, he goes back into the adolescence. The child. although he is the heir, Lord of all. He's different, nothing but a servant as long as he's a child. That's Galatians. He's the Lord of all, though, but he's a child. Here. So he says he's under tutors and governors until the appointed time. Somebody got to teach him something until he can learn something. He's got to be under somebody because he don't really know who he is. This chapter right here, Ephesians 4, the one we go to every week for this class. It says, be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. What is doctrine comes into your mind? Everybody knows who we are as a church but us. Matthew 16, we'll start off in verse 13. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some they say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You see that? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And listen to this statement, and we read this stuff. Now hold on, time out. Don't let it be your favorite scripture right now. Empty your soul right quick. What you thought, all your revelation, stop right quick, okay? Stop, I want you to come fresh, all right? Everybody say fresh. Just come fresh, all right, watch this. It says, and I will give unto the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Read that one statement, read that. Whatsoever, read it. Look at me. Do you imagine the power that he's giving you right there? I don't think we understand, and we read the scripture before, haven't we? Yes. How many times you done bound something knowing it wasn't bound? Huh? Yes. By show of hands, have you ever bound something and it didn't get bound up? Yes. Right? Okay. Read the next line. Listen to this right here between verse 18 in verse 19, two scriptures, Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I not only will give you the kingdom, but I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you decide to do is going to be done. Now we've been reading that for so long, so it don't hit home real hard. It don't seem like it's a special thing because we've been reading it so long, but we've been buying this stuff for so long, and ain't nothing been buying for so long. So now we've let it become normal to our minds. Shake your soul loose. Shake the dust off your soul. Break your soul down so that you can understand what's really being said to you here. Thou art being up on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It didn't say they're going to have a good fight. No, they won't prevail against the church. Everybody knows but us. What God created the church to be and what he created us to do was to have dominion over everything. He even said it in the beginning. But the only reason that dominion isn't happening in your life are in the church as a whole, and let me speak about the church as a whole, because the church as a whole is weak. It's broke down. It's broke before broke down. It's sick. It's behind the times. It's always late to the party. As soon as the new sound come out, they got it 20 years later. Y'all know it. Amen. It shouldn't be this way, because we the only ones that don't know how powerful we are. We the only ones that don't know how much of an edge we really got. And the only reason we don't know, because we won't take time to change our minds. We won't take the time. I know you read your Bible every day. Is that enough? I know you read the scripture and you're praying, send your group me in, right? Is that enough? Mark 11:23 says, he said his mouth, be thou moved, be thou cast sea, and shall not what?
Doubt.
The statement says, you shall not doubt. That means no doubt. But believe that the things he says shall come to pass. Then he says, you'll have what you said. No doubt. How much study time it take for me to have no doubt about something? I'll wait. How much do I have to look at something meditated to have no doubt about it? How long? How much dedication? How much focus? How much commitment? How much diligence? How much consistency? How much do I got to keep out to not doubt? We the only ones that don't know who we are. And the world, the system, right, is running rampant because we don't stand up. See, the way it works, this is how it works. There's spots, there's high places and high spots and high jurisdictions and high things that God wants us to be in, because he knows that if somebody like him can be in that spot, then it will rain in the proper way. There are places that God has set up. But see, he can't put us there because we don't know. We're still children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And a child, though they be the heir, though they be Lord of all, ain't nothing but a servant. So here we just servants out here. Amen. Never having dominion. Servanthood is good, praise the Lord. A good heir has gone through servanthood, right? But I've never seen a servant come in and start making demands. I've never seen a servant have dominion. He says, he's talking about Jesus. He said, let this mind. Huh? Go look at it. Philippians 2:5. Go look at it real quick. Go look at it. I'm gonna show you what sonship and servanthood is in one being. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We'll start reading there. You there?
Yes.
Read it.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ
Jesus. That's powerful enough right there. It said, let it. Everybody say, let. What does it mean to let something happen? You allow it. You make provisions for it to come in. If I let you in my house, that means I unlock my door and open up the door. Hey, I'm going to be there in a second. All right, the door unlocked. I'm making provisions so that you can come in. I move all blockages out the driveway so you can drive on in. I let you in the yard. I let you in the house. I let this mind. Read again. Keep going again. Keep going. Next part. Uh-oh, so who being in the form of God, he didn't think it was bad, that he was equal with God. See, we read this too long, so it don't hit home. We didn't read it too long with our dull eyes, so we don't know what we're reading. Such a powerful thing. What it says, who thought it not robbery, but what? Wow. So in other words, he didn't think he was stealing.
Right.
When he came in and said, me and my father are one.
Right.
When he opened up the book, y'all gotta realize who Jesus was, boy. We need to do some study on Jesus. Y'all realize who Jesus was, then it'll make you stand up a little taller. Because Jesus would go into the synagogue and serve and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me, not us in the crew, no, me. And close the book and sit down. That's the type of conversation he had, because he knew exactly. So let that mind. Thought not robbery to be equal with God. What did it say after that?
But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men.
The problem that we have ministry is ministry has a virus in it, because a lot of people want to be an heir and not a servant. That's why so many churches starting that shouldn't be started. And so many people going out and preaching that shouldn't be preaching because they want to be the head. They want to be the one, the top dog. But they ain't never been a servant. And see, the reason Jesus was so powerful, if you get it, Jesus was the best of both worlds. Jesus was all God and all man. He was totally relevant to the earth and totally relevant to heaven at the same time. So now here he is, totally God, totally the heir, but totally a servant. But he knew who he was. He understood who he was inside of himself. Matter of fact, he took time. Jesus went and studied. Go look at the scriptures. Jesus up in the synagogues. Mama had to come back and get him. Y'all remember that, right? He took the time. Jesus went out there and got away from the junk and went fast before the enemy came tempting him. He got away from all the rigmarole and all the junk and all the mass mind that was around. He got away from the stuff that was already there to condition himself. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but yet made himself a servant. If you stay in a servant mindset and you never have dominion, you're in error. If you try to have dominion without being a servant, you're in error. What you think your dominion is for? To serve. I only do what my Father tells me to do. That's all it's for. I've only been endowed with power because the one with the power has a job for me to do. But we the only ones that don't know. Why we don't know? Because we don't take the time to know. We don't take the time to know so much that there's no doubt. Now, I'll prove it to you. Apostle said something yesterday in church. And it was powerful. And he preached a message, "Is it well with your soul?" You know, we know it is well with your soul. You know, you got the song and all that. And, you know, is it well with your soul? Yeah, it's well with my soul. Is it well? Why you ain't got everything you supposed to have? Right? Why are you still struggling with what you're struggling with? Because if you are, it ain't well with your soul. The first thing, they go to Alcoholics Anonymous. The first thing they tell them to do is admit that I am an alcoholic. They make them say it. I usually be like, oh, man, you're making bad effects. No, they make them admit it. I have a problem. Let me admit that I'm not doing enough. What I'm pushing towards, being unto you according to your faith, and we've had leaps, thank God for that. In everything, give thanks, I understand that. We overcome by the blood and land, the word of testimony, your testimony, right? But for where we're going, right? I don't know if the things that we're looking towards, see, he wasn't lying when he says, you're going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success. Because you're going to do it. How much more do we need? You ever thought about that? How much more we want him to give to us? Like, what else we want? We got grace, mercy, Jesus, his blood, the Holy Ghost, all the holy angels. You got angels. One that came here with you tonight. I could draw up all that, fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, prophets of God, the apostles. Fivefold ministry gifts. What else do we want? There's one thing that you're not willing to do. Just break down and change your soul. I looked up the word. I didn't look up the word. Sometimes when I search, I'll search when I'm looking at the word. I'll search in the Bible. I search the word and it's all the different scriptures of it. And the heart, huh? In Word of Faith, we would learn that the heart was a spirit man. It's not. He speaks about the heart, he speaks about your soul. He's speaking about the innermost parts of your soul. They're talking about when Mary was told about what was supposed to happen, they say she pondered this in her heart. As another scripture says, evil proceedings proceed out of the heart. Well, that can't be my spirit man because my spirit man is God. So what is he talking about? So the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 23:7. Keep your heart with all, how much diligence? All diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Not Sunday or Wednesday diligence. Monday, if you got Bible study on Monday, right? No, not those days. Not prayer time diligence. All diligence. Because out of it are the issues of your life. Now, whatever issues your life got came out of your, it came out of your heart. This brothers in your heart, your mouth speak. The proceedings that proceed out of your heart, as he thinketh, in his heart. Huh? That what the scripture say, ain't it? As he thinking in it. So is. What you got that you don't want? Whatever you got that you don't want is in your heart. Whatever you don't got, I know it's bad English, whatever you don't got that you do supposed to have, you ain't got it in your heart yet. I taught a message yesterday. We was talking to the young people, and we don't have a information problem. We have an application problem. It's not that we don't know scriptures. I bet y'all, some of y'all can quote scriptures around me. But what good is gonna do? Search the scriptures. Search them. For in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. Jesus talking now. But then he says this: you won't come unto me. Now we think, come unto Jesus, but really he's saying become. You won't become unto me. You won't become like me. Mm-hmm. You won't let this mind that you can just be eternal. Eternal life, everlasting life. Just consistent life. Everything you touch will be life. But we got to bow down. Ephesians 4. I'll start reading. But unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 7, wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captive the captive and gave gifts unto men. I'm skipping the next verse. Verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the what? Faith, right? Now faith comes by what? Yeah. Oh, okay. So now we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Where's knowledge? Where's your knowledge? Where do you know things at? Come on, where you know them at? My soul and my heart. Even, I'm going to help you out. He said, what's the great commandment in the law? He said that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. He said three times, pop, pop, pop. This is how important you need to have your mind. You need to have your emotions, your will, your intellect, your understanding, your feelings, your love on. There shouldn't be nowhere else. If they're anywhere else, they're in error. Heart, mind, and soul. Hit you three times so you know where you're supposed to be at. You know what your mind. Unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of the wind of doctrine. And sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things. How many things? All of them, right? All of them, right? Y'all see that, right?
Yes,
all of them. Which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body of the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. You ready? Mm-hmm. Read the rest of that. Stop. So don't walk like the Gentiles walk, right? Finish reading. Oh. Please stop walking like the Gentiles. Please stop walking like you ain't got a covenant. Please stop walking like you ain't got no power. Could you please quit walking that way? So I say this. Therefore, don't stop. Please, today, stop walking like the Gentiles walk. In the vanity of their minds. In the vanity of their what? Vanity, vain, no purpose, no point, no goals, no higher power, not on God, on me. Not on something bigger, on what I want. The vanity of their minds. And sometimes we can be, I don't know, sometimes we as children of God can be in mental purgatory. Like we ain't over there chasing after what we want, but we definitely ain't having dominion over nothing. You look like Gentiles. That's what he's saying right here. You're living like somebody without a covenant. The vanity of your mind. Having the what? Verse 18, having the what? Understanding. Where you understanding at? I'll wait. Where you understanding? Come on, point to it. Where's your understanding? You get it? Having your thought processing darkened. And so now it tells us what happens when my thought process is dark. And what it says next? From the life of God. I'm an alien to the life of God. Because of through the ignorance. Now you know what ignorance is, right? You know what ignorance is, huh? You know, you say ignorance, but the root word of ignorance is what? See, when you go to the root of the word, it makes it more personal. Because now ignorance, well, stop being so ignorant. And you say ignorant just means you don't know something, right? And that's true, right? You don't know it. But the root of it is because you ignored it. Because you really sat there wherever you, like you're going to go home tonight and sit there and really think everything's okay and ignore the fact that you need to be doing something different. We're going to go through the Christmas holidays and do all the stuff that we normally do every Christmas and ignore the fact that we're not being what we're supposed to be. And there's leaps and bounds that we need to make. We're going to sit in service and then go home and do the same thing. We're going to live through the week and we're going to ignore. That's the only problem, is that we ignore. Remember, we don't have an information problem. I sat there and talked to a friend of mine last night. I said, how many times I heard apostle, and I'll be getting on myself, man. I said, how many times I heard apostle say a revelation, and I was like, Lord Jesus. And so I wrote it down, woo-woo, and I said, tell somebody, oh, Lord, boy, this revelation, this is the one right here. But then you don't do nothing with it. Am I by myself? I'm by myself up here. No, you done it too. Because we ignore that we need to sit there and chew on that for a while. It's going to get there in a second. Because of the blindness of their you got a blind mind. Who being in the past have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all cleanliness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, you have taught by him. The truth is in where? As the truth is in where? Did you put off put off concerning the former conversation, the old man was corrupt according to deceitful lust? What's the next line? Be renewed in the spirit. Can we slow down a little bit?
Yes, sir.
Can we slow down and say it a little slower?
Yes, sir.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I want you to say it that way. Say be renewed. Just say it like I said, be renewed.
Be renewed.
Stop. Think about it for a second. I say be renewed in the spirit.
Be renewed.
That's powerful, to be renewed in the spirit, right? But then be renewed in the spirit, stop, of your mind. Now, it's not saying the spirit of your mind. Be really quick like that. No, you be renewed in the spirit. But you got the only be renewed in your spirit is from your mind. See, we be overly concerned about stuff that ain't got nothing to do with us. And we neglecting the thing that got everything to do with us. You ain't got to worry about the blood. You ain't got to worry about the Holy Ghost job. You ain't got to worry about whether God love you or not. He always going to love you. There's things that we don't have to worry about. Will he ever let us go? Never. So we over here concerned about those things, and we're neglecting our soul. We renewed in the in we you be renewed in the spirit, because the life source is God. You be renewed in God of your mind. So without my mind, there's another scripture talking about renew your minds. I don't have time to go there. Renew your mind. There will be no renewal without my mind, without me putting my mind, think on these things, whatever's just, whatever's lovely, whatever's honor, whatever's good report. There be any virtue, be any praise. Think on Philippians 4. Think on. So you can flip it. I can preach and say, well, don't think on nothing else opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Right. Philippians 4, go. Mm-hmm. This is where we're going to look at the list of things that we should be thinking on. God, though, verse 6. Read it. Everybody there? I'm sorry, I'm going kind of fast. Everybody there? Philippians 4, 6. You ready? Ready to read?
Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known.
Verse 7.
And the peace of God, which passes all
understanding. How much understanding? All right, keep going. How is your mind and your heart going to get kept? How is your heart and your mind going to get kept? So if it ain't through Christ, it ain't kept. I can do all things. See, God is very absolute about the things that he says. He says, be careful for nothing. We be careful for some things and not careful for other things that we think we got under control. Is that not true?
Yes.
But he's very absolute about how he feels about things. God says that a lot. All, everything, nothing, passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. You put that scripture, I can do all things. You're working with grease there. You're cooking with grease then, right? Verse 8. Read it. Ready to read.
Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are
good report,
if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
There's a list right there. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise, think on. What have we been thinking about that don't fall on that list? What have we been allowing to be projected on our minds that's not on that list? Let me tell you something about this system. The system of the children, the Bible says the children's world and their generation wiser than the children's light. The reason they're wiser is because they're not talking about a God kind of wisdom. Usually when we see wise, we're not talking about a God kind of wisdom. They're wise because there's another scripture in the Old Testament says, he who wins the souls is wise. You ever heard that before? Mm-hmm. Y'all thought they were talking about getting people saved. Nah, no, it's talking about if you win the mind, you get everything.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Why do you think they hustle so hard to make things so immaculate? The concerts are great. The movies, they spare no expense. The commercials and all the different things. And I'm not, it's not those things, it's you. See, it's nothing personal, it's the principle. See, the thing's gonna be there. That stuff gonna happen, right?
Right.
All that's gonna be there, but you need to be somewhere else where you're above it. Why do you think that they do so much? Everything is trying to project on your mind, even the things that seem like it's not harmful. Do it look like Jesus? Do it look like Jesus? Come on, ask the question. Do it. I can't afford to have anything else in my system but something like Jesus.
That's good.
That's another level stuff. That's another place. That rich young ruler walked away sad. For he liked doing what he was doing. And he liked relaxing, no pressure. He liked the fact that I didn't have to pressure myself a little further than what I usually do. So, you know, I don't want to give up all that. I don't want to stop watching that. I don't want to stop hearing that. I don't want to stop. I like it so much. And so he went away sad at that saying because he had great possession. Jesus gave his whole life. We church, huh? We in ministry school, where we at? Let me teach you something about apostle. He don't care about nothing else. Apostle looked at us one day and said, you know, the Lord told me to do something different. He said, I love y'all, but I'm gonna do what the Lord tell me to do. The Lord told me to get up and leave all y'all, I'll do it. And my mother was sitting right there, and I was sitting next to her. Rest of the family at the table. Because I love God. I know what this thing is about. Where we at? Ministry school. Think on these things. Now, because we've been chained to the stake for so long, you remember the elephant? Back at the beginning, remember the elephant? Because we've been chained up so long, we've been doing things the same way so long, with being insane, because we want increase in whatever, but we've been doing it the same way. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Because we've been there so long, it's going to take a detox. It's going to take a breakdown. It's going to take a separation. What y'all thought Paul got knocked off the horse, and then God just started using him mightily from that point? But Paul had to detox. Paul was killing Christians. Paul was not only killing Christians, you know, Paul was the Jew of the Jews. Paul knew the law better than anybody. You heard him talk about it before. He said, I knew who I was, but not as though I've already attained. Right? So he had to send Paul off for a long time to clear him up so he can be used mightily. He said, well, I ain't got time to go to the Isle of Patmos right now. I can't leave and go on a journey right now. And that's true. I'm not saying for you to leave. Don't go tell Apostle I told you to pack up and leave tomorrow. But there's some things that you could turn off.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. See, it's something about a gate. We got a gate at the house. And whatever comes in and out that gate is determined by what we do when we control that gate. If I don't care who comes to the gate. If I don't press the button, they can't drive in. If I don't leave it open, you know, sometimes you can, there's an off, on and off button on the gate. So the gate opens, sometimes you can turn it off. So the electricity go off on the gate so it won't open, it won't close, right? If I leave the gate open, I just turn it off and leave the gate open. I don't want to think about it right now. But the moment that you don't want to think is the moment you don't want to be successful. How long have you gone without some of those things that you were so used to hearing or watching? How long have you gone without those things consistently replacing with the word? People say they want increase. So, how consistent is your song? When is the last time that you say, I'm all right, every day? Come on. Oh, it works. The principles work. The abundance is waiting for you to show up. Waiting for you to get your mind right. That's all it is. You know how close you are? The Spirit of God is on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're a light switch away from complete clarity. If you would just flip the switch now, what's going to happen right after this? Maybe even between class. I know you got another spirit-filled class after this. But even between class, some of these thoughts gonna come in to try to get you to try to steal it. They try to steal the word out of your heart. That was what the scripture said. The word that was sown in your heart. Don't let it do it. Somebody gonna text you in the middle of class. They can wait. The Wi-Fi went off here today. I was in the office working. The Wi-Fi was tripping. And I was working on something, but I couldn't get it done because the Wi-Fi didn't. And I stopped. And I said, Lord Jesus. I said, what if Wi-Fi just stopped existing? We'd go crazy. And the phones wouldn't work. We'd go stop. Because I was disturbed. Because I kept on clicking submit, and it wouldn't submit. Refreshing, it wouldn't. I was like, I was before the full of, I was like, somebody walk in, I answer them short. What you want? Because I'm aggravated because I'm used to the stuff. I'm used to stuff going so much. I'm used to, and it went off for a little while. And then after my anger moments, right, I realized I might be a little caught up. I was talking to a group of people last night, and I said, watch this. You ready? 1, 2, 3, watch this. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with just nothing going on for a minute? How much quiet time did you sit today and you wasn't sleeping? You're a whisper away. It's not that God ain't talking to you. But I keep hearing all these other voices. One of the things I learned about apostles, he keeps the voices out of his ears. If it's not speaking to where he's going and what God is showing him in the direction that he's supposed to go to towards closer to Jesus, he don't put it in there. Well, apostles don't do nothing else. Apostles watch movies. Most of the time, he go to sleep on them. He would, because he's just not interested. He don't be like, I'm going to go to sleep because I'm not interested. It's the appetite. So you begin to, I like sweets. I'm not going to mess with you tonight, y'all, so don't think I'm going to. I just like sweets, but sometimes that ain't all good for you. But you're so used to eat them, then you ever anybody ever like said I'm not gonna eat sweets for a while, and you start getting headaches. Yeah. Now you start tweeting. Like, I need a hit. Like, start twitching. That's just your soul. Your soul need a breakdown. I know Brother Moses. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, soul need a breakdown. But once your soul is broken down, see, it takes a little while. But if you be consistent and diligent, with all diligence, keep your heart with all. If you be diligent and consistent, then what happens is your appetite changes.
Come on now.
Watch me now. Watch me. This is what we look. See, are we not, how long, what's the last thing you've been really consistent with as far as like changing your mind about something? I'm talking about for months. I'm talking about 21 days. Stop trying to cheat. And your appetite changed. Not only does your appetite change, if anything else does get in, I know when I was changing, excuse my crudeness, but when you start to detox, when you do eat something, it's coming right out. I'm talking about in a matter of seconds, minutes, like, excuse me, y'all got to go to bed. Because their body says, I'm sending that thing out that ain't supposed to be in here. Your appetite change. I'm a music dude, so I really like music. I do. I just really like music in general. And there are some things that I just don't have an appetite for no more. It's not that it's bad. It's just not pushing me towards like the next level of Jesus. So like I'll listen to it and I think it sounds good and I'll buy the album and it's great. But I can only listen to it one time through and I forget about it. I'll go back and try to hear it again. And then get, like, I get, not disturbing, not, it's just, like, I'm over it. Like, get your soul over them hurdles. You say, well, how? How we do it? Joshua 1:8 says what? You ought to know it. But thou shalt meditate how long? Uh-huh, all right. Psalms start talking about it. He delighted in the law, right? And he meditated how long? Surround yourself with the truth. All right, the scripture in Philippians 4, think new things, whatever's just, whatever's honest, whatever's true, right? Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Well, maybe you don't need to take that chance. All these things we see on TV, 95 to 99% of things on TV ain't true. Mm-hmm. 95 to 99% of interviews we see ain't true. They tell us what we want to. Apostle read in church yesterday, and he said, Jesus said, I'm not going to talk much to you. Right? Then he says, and in the Amplified Version says, because the evil genius ruler is coming, the prince. Mm-hmm. And I look up all three of them words, and I mean, they really behind the scenes plotting to get you not to be thinking about who you really are. Mm-hmm. You just eating it up like they're your friends. Mm-hmm. Repent. You know what repent mean, huh? Change your mind. You look it up in the Greek Hebrew, it says to change your mind. So when you repent, you're changing your mind. Simple. You're closer than you think. Did y'all hear the statement? I just heard it just now. I heard it. Hold on, I heard it. I don't think you heard it. You're closer than you think. I heard it. Slow down. You're closer than you think. You're thinking ain't close enough. You get it? Y'all get it? Like you, all right, thanks, Jesus. Thanks.